Hello, and welcome to another episode of Market House, the podcast where we talk all things Disney. My name's Caleb.
And I'm Caitlin.
And this week, we talk about rumors of Disney selling to Apple.
And our thoughts on the Magic Key program.
Let's dive in. All right, this is episode number 59. And I am excited to be back, even though we were recording a little sooner than we expected with the Bob Iger news.
Yeah, we had two episodes this week.
Yeah, so if you actually, before we dive in officially, if you haven't listened to our interview with Happiest Hour, definitely do that because it was a lot of fun.
It was amazing.
Yeah, so that came out last week, and we're actually going to be on their show, I believe, this week, mm-hmm. if all the stars align. So we're looking forward to that. And yeah, they're just great people. So we had a really fun time chatting with them, getting to know them a little more. And, we played fun games and asked them good questions and yeah.
It was a great time. I'm looking forward to being on their show.
Yes.
So it's going to be a lot of fun.
But, yeah, what if we Thanksgiving? It was Thanksgiving. I hope everyone had a great one with family, friends, whatever you ended up doing. We were with family for a lot of the week.
Yeah,
my family likes to do Thanksgiving pretty big. And so we used to go out of town. Now we're all local and they like to make it a whole week thing. So every night there was something going on. It's a lot, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, and we will get into this later, but we actually did go see Strange World, which is the newest Disney animation movie. Disney animated movie.
Yeah. It was, we'll get into it later. We have some opinions on it.
Some thoughts.
Yeah.
But before we dive in, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It's a huge help to the show. And also a new way of supporting the show, you can click the link in the episode description to Undercover Tourist. Yes. Say it three times. It makes some more sense. But you can click there. It saves you a bit of money. And also just supports the show.
Yeah, which is we would appreciate greatly.
Super appreciate. Also, one quick update. We have that fundraiser still going on over on Instagram with Make-A-Wish. And some of you have decided to join us and support the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And it has been amazing. We thank you so much for participating.
Yeah.
If you've given, if you've shared on Instagram, it's a huge, huge help. We just appreciate that. And it's a great foundation.
Yeah, we've had a couple people donate, like Caleb mentioned, on Instagram. We had Emily and Clayton with Make It Magical podcast.
Yes, huge thanks to them.
Thank you so much. We had Ben and Chelsea with Happier at Disney, who donated, as well as Mouse Polaroids. So again, thank you so much for everyone who has taken the time to donate. This will be running through December. We are so close to getting our goal. So if you would like to donate, whether it's $5, $10, or whatever you can, it is linked on Instagram in the highlights. Lights under fundraiser, as well as there's a post of Caleb and I towards the top in big letters that says fundraiser.
Can't miss it.
So it's in the bio. There's a couple places you can find it. And again, reach out to us if you have any questions. But again, thank you so much to everyone who has donated. We're so excited.
Yes, for sure. Thank you so much. And finally, before we dive into the news, we have another 5-star review to read.
Yeah.
Super, super nice. Let's get started here. The subject is number 1 podcast for anyone who loves Disney. Caleb and Caitlin are so much fun to listen to each week. My kids and I look forward to their weekly podcast to hear the latest about the parks and learn some Disney trivia. We also love the new shopping segment. It's so cute, and I get excited to hear what I'm going to add to my must-buy list. Thank you for all you do, and keep on producing the great content. This is a true must-listen-to podcast if you love Disney. So nice.
Gosh.
That's from lovely, lovely mom is the username.
Over on Instagram. And I have to say, the first time that we read this review, it literally almost brought tears to my eyes because it was just such a sweet, there's just such sweet words. And again, we can't thank you enough for taking the time to say these little bits to us. And again, it might be small, but to us, it's huge. So we really appreciate you and all of your support. Again, we talk to lovely, lovely mom quite often on Instagram. So again, thank you so much for everything you said. My heart was bursting with happiness when we read it. So
very, very nice. Thank you so much. All right, let's get in the news.
Right. First up, we have some unfortunate news. Strange World has bombed at the box office.
Yeah, didn't do very well.
No, not at all. And you know, we just saw it and we weren't very
not very impressed.
No.
It was okay. It wasn't bad. It also wasn't great. So it's one of those where you watch it and you just kind of forget about it. Like, I won't We probably won't watch it again.
Yeah.
Even if it's on Disney Plus in the next, you know, whatever, 3 months.
Yeah. And we did go with family to see it, and everyone kind of had the same conclusion on the movie. Even Caleb's grandma was kind of like, yeah, I know. I don't really understand.
She's pretty easy to please in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
So.
She kind of thought it was boring.
Yeah.
It's visually very pretty. The animation's insane.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
But the storyline was kind of like, I don't know. It just wasn't one of those where I'm like, I have to watch
it. Yeah,
again.
I don't want to give anything away, but it was just like, I don't know. The first thing that came to mind was Osmosis Jones,
which is
a very old... You don't remember that?
No.
I think Will Smith was the voice.
Oh, no.
It's kind of the same concept, which I don't want to give too much away, but it was odd. It was a different movie. So it's worth seeing.
I would see it.
If you've got an hour and a half, like a spare hour and a half, go see it. I wouldn't say it's a total waste of money. It just wasn't Disney quality, I would argue, story-wise.
I would just wait for it to come out on Disney Plus.
Yeah, good call. But yeah, so it's expected to gross, about $26 million when all is said and done this Thanksgiving weekend. And it was expected to gross about $30 to $40 million. So that's pretty, it fell short of expectations. And to give you an idea of how low this was, Encanto, which was released the same weekend, Thanksgiving, grossed about $40.3 million.
Wow.
And that was even like right after COVID restrictions starting to loosen up.
Yeah.
That was even, right? People still went out even more to go see movies, even though people were kind of scared and unsure.
It's such a low number though.
Yes.
Especially like after COVID.
It's a lot expensive
when they
movie.
Would come out with, what's the average? Like hundreds of millions? For
yeah.
Like
not
opening?
Not opening weekend.
Oh, okay.
No. Over time.
But still. Yeah.
Yeah. So... yeah, the reduced box office is most likely to the average reviews that it's getting and not a lot of marketing. I think Disney probably knew they had a dud here and just decided not to spend a lot of money marketing the movie.
Yeah.
So.
And The Glass Onion is out as well.
Yeah, it's not a family movie though.
It's not, but I'm like, I feel like people who are going to the movies are probably going to see that.
That's true.
So.
Yeah, people are just going to the movies less. Like, it has to be a spectacle to go.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a good point. All right. Well, Starry Strange World. Better luck next time, Disney. All right, in our last news story, kind of a slow news week, there's a rumor going around that Disney is considering selling to Apple.
I think this would be an amazing idea.
No, it wouldn't. And let me tell you why.
I'm just thinking more like the tech-wise. Like, you could use your Apple Watch for everything.
No, no. Let me tell you why this doesn't make any sense. Okay. So there's a popular rumor going around that Bob Iger was interested in selling the company to Apple, and that's why he came back. That's what people are saying. That Bob Iger's the deal guy, right? He's the master negotiator, and that he's going to go to Apple and say, you should purchase us for these reasons. And this is the argument that people are making. Bob Iger actually mentioned his interest in selling to Apple in his memoir, which I mentioned last week, The Ride of a Lifetime.
Amazing book.
Very good book. But it wasn't, I wanted to sell to Apple. He just said, Steve Jobs and I got along very well. Steve loved our company. I loved his company. Bob Iger was actually on the board of Apple at one point, and vice versa. Steve was on the board of, Disney. And they just saw eye to eye on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I think eventually, if Steve was still around, we would have merged the two companies just because we saw eye to eye and quality and blah, blah, blah. And the other argument is that Apple's market cap is huge, right? They're a giant company. $2.3 trillion last time I checked. Versus Disney's $180 billion. So it's a dwarf. It's tiny. It's a tiny, tiny little speck on Apple's value, right? And this is in addition to having $82 billion in cash. So Apple sitting on a huge sum of money is worth a lot, right? And people are just saying that, hey, they have the money. Why wouldn't they purchase Disney for that beautiful IP, right? You've got Pixar. You've got Lucasfilm, you've got Marvel, you've got all the Disney properties. And so people are saying, hey, Apple's in streaming, this makes sense. But let me tell you why this doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Okay, I've been thinking about this. It bothers me.
Okay.
It bothers me that people think this.
We're an Apple family over here. So
we are. I love both. But it doesn't make any sense. So first thing, what would Apple want to do with cruise ships and theme parks? It's not part of Apple's business. They don't want to deal with that kind of stuff, right? The move would not add enough revenue to their business to make sense. So Apple deals in multi billions, right? I mean, the revenue they generate is unbelievable. And so they need to get into things that like will exponentially increase for their bottom line. And theme parks isn't going to do this, right? The IP is fantastic for streaming, but that's like an add-on business for Apple, right? The money's in the iPhones, the money's in the tech. So it doesn't make much sense. like they need to make moves in cars, right? There's a rumor they're making a car, government contracts, healthcare, stuff that's going to make like huge waves in the business world. And finally, my final argument against this is Apple does not like to do big acquisitions. They love to buy up small companies to complement their existing businesses. So you've got the biggest one they've ever done was Beats for $3 billion, which that sounds like a lot to the average person, but $3 billion for a company the size of Apple's like small potatoes, tiny. And like I mentioned earlier, Disney's about $180 billion, their market cap. The next one was $1 billion for Intel's mobile chip business, $600 million for a semiconductor business. So it doesn't make any sense. And there, I rest my case.
All right.
That's the new story.
Well, I mean, to me, I mean, I would love for them to do that because I'd love to be able to use my Apple Watch for everything.
I think we can, that can be done in a different way. That's a partnership.
Let me hear my things. This is what I'm saying. I think it'd be amazing because if Apple did buy Disney, you know how much Apple, like Disney stuff that we'd have for our phones, like phone cases, we have computer stuff that's all Disney. Some people might go, that's so tacky, but I would buy all of it.
I know. That's just, yeah. It yes.
For those reasons, okay. I love it. Other than that, I don't
care. Mr. Tim Cook, you should purchase it for those reasons.
Because Caitlin wants an Apple case, an iPhone case with Mickey on it.
Okay. I love it. But anyhooski, that's the rumor. I wanted to address it just because it's going around like wildfire and it's really, you know, people want to click on it. And it just doesn't make much sense. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm calling that this is absolute baloney.
Yeah, and I think we also have to remember that Iger's going to be, I don't want to say in office, but like with Disney for
in office.
What we know of as 2 years right now,
no,
I don't think he's going to come in and sell and then go, all right.
And it's not going to be 2 years. I think
I don't know if he wants that to be his legacy.
Yeah, good point. All righty, we're back. The music means
Disney trivia.
We tied again last week. I think we've tied two. I'm sorry. Yeah, last week. We've tied 2 weeks in a row.
This year. This one I'm feeling really confident about.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you going to stump me?
I hope.
Okay.
So we'll see.
All right. Let's get into it.
Okay. All right, Caleb. Are you ready for your first question?
I think so.
All right. First up. In Beauty and the Beast, what does Gaston say he's roughly the size of?
A barge.
Okay. Perfect. I'm so proud of you because we watch that movie all the time. Okay, are you ready for your second question?
Yes.
Which I think you might get us now that I'm thinking about it, but I just thought it was interesting.
You were very confident, you said.
What is the most expensive Disney movie ever made?
The most expensive Disney movie ever made?
Yes.
It's animated?
Yes.
Okay, I think it's Tangled.
That's correct.
Okay, because the hair technology.
Yes, so it's clocking in at around $260 million.
Yeah.
And the runner-up as of now is the 2019 remake of The Lion King coming in at around $10 million less than that.
That makes sense.
So.
Yeah, Tangled, I know the most of the cost is wrapped up in that hair technology.
Yes, because it was amazing.
Yes, which it makes for a good like headline. My argument would be that also was used on different movies, so it shouldn't be all in like counted towards Tangled's budget, if that makes sense. But yes, I get it.
I don't know. Tangled's like visually stunning.
I love Tangled.
Well, good job. 2 for 2.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
All right, Caitlin, are you ready for your 2 questions?
Hopefully.
Let's do it.
Okay.
How tall is the Magic Kingdom Christmas tree?
Oh my gosh.
70 feet, 58 feet, 75 feet, or 65 feet?
75.
Incorrect. 65 feet.
I knew it.
That's crazy. That's tall. It's nearly 7 stories tall.
That's crazy.
Okay.
Okay.
Next question. Which Disney World attraction does not typically get a holiday overlay? Which one doesn't get one? Ready? Living with the Land, Jungle Cruise, Peter Pan's Flight, or Tomorrowland Speedway? Which one does not get a holiday overlay?
Peter Pan.
Correct.
Because Jungle Cruise gets Jungle Cruise.
Yeah. Yes.
Living with the Land is something that I've always wanted to do, so I know they get a holiday overlay.
Yep.
And the Tomorrowland Speedway, they have like little things along the track that are all holiday.
I've not seen that. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, Peter Pan does not get one. So good job. So you went 1 for 2. Caleb takes it this week.
Well, at least we didn't tie. I'm proud of you.
Exactly. Just like the World Cup, which could happen, which we watched a match today.
Yeah, we watched Spain versus Germany.
It was so good.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And they tied.
They did.
In classic soccer form or football, wherever you're from. But yeah, thanks for joining us this week for Disney Trivia. Caleb wins yet again, but let's see if you can come back and beat me next week.
We'll see.
All right. right, we're back with another edition of Shop the Mouse with Market House. Caitlin, what do you have for the folks today?
Well, I'm quite excited because quite a bit of you were like, where is Shop the Mouse last week? Because we didn't do it. So it is back, my friends, and I have some fun, exciting items for you, especially for that Cyber Monday that this episode is coming out on. So first one, I have a Mickey Mouse and Friends Weekend Vibe long sleeve t-shirt.
Ooh.
This one is super cute. It's white and it has Mickey and Friends all over it. Again, it's super casual, fun, just something to throw on. It's lightweight. So if you're like us where it's not always cold during the wintertime,
yes.
You can wear that. And that's going to cost around $44.99.
Okay.
However, it's currently 30% off.
Ooh.
And I believe it's still going to be going through for Cyber Monday when you see this. So on Monday morning, head over to our Instagram, go on stories. I'll have all the links for you as well as the code for 30% off.
Perfect.
So watch out for that. Second thing I have is a Mickey Mouse vintage style watch. Now, I saw this and I thought this would be such a great idea for anybody, really. It is a kind of like a black, I don't think it's real leather because of the price.
I highly doubt it's real leather.
It's black, like fake leather. And then the face of it looks very like retro, like vintage. Has Mickey, almost like Steamboat Willie.
Okay.
Mickey.
Cool.
And again, he's just in the middle of it and his hands are obviously telling the time.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's very clean. It's very simple and it could be a great gift for anybody. This one, the price of this, I just lost my note.
I saw it here for $53.99.
Yes, $53.99. And
okay.
Again, it is 30% off. Again, I will have it all linked for you.
Perfect.
My last one is something that I almost bought at the parks, and it is the Mickey Mouse waffle mug and spoon set. This is around $22.99 before the 30% off, but it's absolutely adorable. It's kind of like a bigger mug with the Mickey waffles all over it. It has like melting butter on the waffle, and it's really unique because it has a spoon in it that you can stir, whether it's tea, coffee, and it's a set. So it's a great gift.
Cool.
Good thing for like Secret Santa or whatever, a small gift for work, for friends. Who doesn't love Mickey waffles?
Right.
So I think it's adorable. I might be purchasing it. So again, head over to Instagram. These will all be linked for you and they will all be saved in the links highlight on Instagram.
Sweet.
Over at Market House Podcast. So
I love it.
And let me know, message me and let me know if you buy any of these, because I've had a couple people do that and I'm so interested to see what people are getting for friends, family.
Awesome.
So, that's,
we've been doing a lot of Christmas shopping. So
we do.
This can add to it. So
yes.
I love it. Awesome. Thank you for these items,
of
Caitlin.
Course.
I'll be purchasing them myself.
Oh, will you?
I don't know. Maybe you can get that waffle mug and spoon set.
That'd be awesome.
Cool. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
All right, and that brings us to our main segment of this week, and that is Disneyland Magic Keys.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I want to talk about the program, what our thoughts are on it. We've had the Magic Key for a little over a year now.
Yeah.
And just kind of getting used to the new program. So when these first were announced, Caitlin and I were ecstatic. Like the opportunity to buy essentially annual passes again.
Mm-hmm.
So exciting. And it was just, you know, it was a rough couple of years with COVID. And
yeah,
we were just excited to look forward to a new annual pass program.
Yeah, we were so excited to get the magnet,
right?
And all of that. Oh my gosh.
It was crazy.
Oh gosh. Takes me back for when that video that Disney posted about when they were opening up. And that, what was that video on Instagram where they're going through and all the cast members are clapping and they have balloons?
Yes,
it was such
yes.
an exciting time. Like, it's happening.
Yes. So we started off with the Believe Key.
Yes.
So that was the second from the top. So let me kind of go down the list here and tell you prices of what the Magic Key program are. And then we'll actually I'll read off what annual passes used to be.
Ooh, okay.
In 2019.
Perfect.
What that program looked like. So right now, these are the four Magic Keys that are available currently. We've got the Inspire Key, which is the creme de la creme, $1,600, $1,599. And this only has about, I think it's 9 days of blockout dates.
Okay.
So this used to be the one without, you know, any blockout dates and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it does have those now around Christmas time and New Year's. You've got the Believe Key, which is the second down, $1,099. This has more blockout dates and less, I think, discounts when it comes to merch and food.
Yes, I believe it's 10%.
Okay. And then we've got the Enchant Key, which is $699.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. So less access to the park and same discounts, though, except for parking. I don't want to get into all that because
yeah.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Imagine Key, which is the lowest. That is $449. That's the SoCal exclusive. You have to be a SoCal resident. And it is super blocked out. Like, you only have pretty much a few months out of the year that you can go.
And it's normally during the week availability.
I don't think there's
weekends.
Any weekends at all available.
Which
for
again,
this
if you live down there, that's great.
Oh yeah, it makes awesome. Perfect sense.
So yeah, like Caleb mentioned, we did start off with the Believe Key, and then when we renewed this past year, we actually went down to the Enchant Key.
Yeah, so we had an unusual. Of course, it was the first time, or sorry, first year back, right, from taking a long break from Disney, not voluntarily because of the pandemic,
right.
And so we were like, we had a ton of trips planned, a couple of family trips, and a lot for ourselves. So it made financial sense to get that Believe Key, more access to the park and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
This time around, we had kind of some less trips planned, and we wanted to do some other stuff around, you know, we wanted to go to Tahoe for a weekend. So like just a little more vacations outside of Disney.
Right.
So we downgraded to Enchant. And hopefully it makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things where we obviously talked about this in previous episodes, but we kind of took the availability for the Enchant Key and mapped out our entire year of when we wanted to go. And it lined up to where the availability and time frame which we wanted was available. So it was kind of a no-brainer to pick that key. Again, there was no issue of like, we're not doing the Believe Key.
Yeah. Yeah
it wasn't that at all. It was just the times that we wanted to go were open.
Yep.
So again, we'll see how it goes. So far, it's been great.
Yeah, we've used it once.
Yeah, we're going again in January, so soon. So yeah, it's been going great so far.
All right, so let me read off what the annual pass program looked like in 2019 before we lost it. We had, again, the top tier pass, which is, this isn't around anymore, which Caitlin and I have always looked at and said, I cannot believe people have this. It's so cool. The Premier Pass. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It was $2,000, $2,199, and it gave you access, unlimited access, to both Disneyland and Walt Disney World.
The most dreamy pass.
Right? My former boss had it.
Yes.
And he had it in his wallet. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world, and he would go quite often to both, and I was so jealous.
So jealous.
It was so cool. So this was the top tier pass. I don't know if this is ever coming back. Doesn't make much sense for Disney to bring it back, but anywho-ski, don't think it's coming back. So the top tier pass for Disneyland exclusively was the Signature Plus Pass. This was $1,449. No blockout dates. The Signature Pass, $1,199. The Deluxe, this is what we did pretty much every single year. This was $829. The Disney Flex Pass was $649. And the Southern California Select, again, exclusive to those Southern California residents, $419. Now, quick note. The Flex Pass is basically what we have now.
Right.
Right? So the Flex Pass like required reservations, and it was basically the program we have now. They were just kind of testing it on this tier pass.
Which is so funny because I remember when it first came out, we're like, we don't want to do that. That's
yeah, I was
gonna
like,
be such a pain in the butt.
Reservations, that sounds lame.
Yeah.
And I was like, you can only have two at a time. I just was blasting it. And sure enough, that's what we have.
Which
now.
Was also funny because the year that COVID happened, we thought about actually doing the Flex Pass.
You're right.
And then it shut down.
You're right. So I budgeted for the Flex Pass and I was like, let's just give it a shot. Let's try it out. And no, it went away.
Yeah, we ended up loving the Deluxe Pass. It was one of our favorites to this day.
Yeah, it had, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we had 5% more dining discount. So I think we had 15%, right?
15% dining, I think, and then
and 10% merch. Now we just have 10% across the board discounts.
Right, yeah, we loved it. And I also had a side note I wanted to just talk about. Isn't it interesting that the Premier Pass that you can go to Disney and Disney World was only $21.99 and then the top Inspired Key is $1,600
right?
For one.
Isn't that correct? That's why I think we'll never get it back because it'll be so...
It'll probably be like $3,000.
Maybe they would, but it would be that, $3,000 probably.
Yeah. Sorry, side note. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah.
Prices are so
pretty
expensive.
Close. And I know. It's getting expensive. So let's go down the list of what I think are the Magic Key pros and cons, and then we'll compare them to the annual pass program and how we feel about it all.
Perfect.
Okay, so first pro of having a Magic Key, of course, is kind of, access to the parks. So it gives you way more access to the parks than just a park hopper tickets, and you can go a lot, right?
We love it. And not to mention, the second thing that we have is just merchandise, food. You get discounts on, which again, throughout the trip is very beneficial.
It adds up.
Doesn't matter if you have 2 people there or 10 people there.
For sure.
It saves you money.
And you get a Genie Plus discount now.
Yes.
I know we don't like the program, but at least
we do use it.
You get a
and
discount.
And it does help to have it discounted.
Yes. You get exclusive activities. So you have exclusive picture opportunities in the park. You've got access to the Magic Key Lounge, which we still have not tried.
Yeah.
And kind of random other stuff. They'll do...
There's like a holiday tote bag that's coming
is there
out,
really?
Okay. I think in December that I've seen. There'll be like random sippers or popcorn buckets. Again.
It's little stuff.
It's little things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it helps.
It helps, yeah.
Depending on what key you have discounted or included parking, which again, that adds up. What is that? $25 a trip?
Yeah, I think it's 25. Again, which we don't ever park. We always just Uber to the hotel and walk to the parks. So
yes.
we never bring a car.
Yeah, we don't really take advantage of this. That's why it's not really, we don't account for that when we're planning on what one we're purchasing. But I know a lot of people that still drive down there. And that, again, is something to factor in.
We have family members, too, that will usually park and go do that kind of stuff. So,
yep. And then finally, you get special discounts throughout the year. So sometimes they'll do Magic Key hotel discounts, increased merch discounts. Do you remember in November?
That was amazing.
October.
It was October. And I'm kind of like, bring it back.
30% off
merch.
Oh my
gosh, that was awesome.
That was
crazy. Yeah, the Spirit jersey was like $50 instead of $75 plus tax. It was awesome.
That was awesome. So they'll do stuff like that. So it is fun to be a part of that program because you get, again, discounted merch stuff, and we always partake in the merch. So let's list off some of the negatives, right?
Yes.
Am I missing any pros? Am I missing any there?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so. But again, sadly, there are cons, and it's kind of a bummer. But the first one that I do notice is the blackout dates. It can be frustrating. I mean, it is frustrating. No matter what pass you have. So it's kind of one of those things where, again, sometimes only one weekend works, and if that's blocked out, it's a bummer.
It is a bummer. And I feel like they're increasing, right? So I think every pass now, of course, has increased blockout dates no matter what one you get.
Right.
And it is frustrating. Again, it's part of the thing. It's always been that way, even with the annual pass program.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels just more limiting now.
Right.
Like with ours right here, the one we have, what's it called? The Enchant? You can barely go in December. I mean, barely.
Yeah, I think there was only one weekend, and it was the first weekend, actually. And then it's just throughout the week, which, again, we have to fly or drive down there, so we can't just hop over to LA.
Yeah, it's a haul. So.
Yeah, so it's a bummer.
The next thing is smaller pool of park reservations compared to ticket holders. So it's harder to get in, right?
Yes.
So that mix up, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's pretty much confirmed by Disney that they prefer to have ticket holders in the park versus Magic Key holders because they spend more money on average. And so they will favor them, right? Let's say 70% of the reservations go to ticket holders and 30% go to Magic Key holders. I'm making that number up. I don't know what that mix is, but that's pretty much what people think is going on.
Yeah. And it's also just a bummer just trying to get reservations for the pass holders or the key holders, because, for example, we've had multiple times where, again, we've gone with family and we weren't able to get a certain weekend because it booked up so quickly. And that's hard when you're going in a big group. Or like we had one example towards the very beginning where if you switched and you didn't get the date, like, you know what I'm trying to say is like,
yeah. So if you wanted to switch from Disneyland to DCA.
Yeah. You had to do that in about 2.5 seconds. And if you didn't, it was gone. And that happened to us twice.
Yeah. You had to straight cancel it without switching.
And it was the most terrible feeling because when we called Disney and sat on the phone with them for 4 hours, they were like, oh, we can't help you.
Yeah. Sorry, bud.
So thankfully there was an amazing cast member that helped us at the parks and then we were able to clear everything out. But again, that could be stressful. So.
Yep. Not fun.
No.
And finally, again, this is kind of I wouldn't blame the Magic Key program for this. This is with the annual pass program as well. But there's an obligation. You feel like there's an obligation to go all of the time. You really want to get every single dollar, squeeze every dollar of value out of this pass. And so if Caitlin and I want to go for an extended weekend trip to Napa, let's say, or I don't know, what have you, list off anything, go to Portland or Seattle, we feel almost guilty a little bit because we're not using the very expensive pass we purchased 3 months ago, right?
Right.
Do you feel that way too?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. It's one of those things where I'm like, you're like, you have it. So you're like, well, I should be going to Disney.
Right.
I already prepaid for this.
Yeah. And it's so, like, yeah, you know, like our admission's free and then we're just paying for food at that point. And
right.
So, yeah, it is kind of silly, but it's part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. They do wrap you in that feeling of, well, it's free, but you're like, no, it's not.
I
already
prepaid for this. Exactly.
But again, it's interesting how that does happen.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the pros and cons of the Magic Key program. Now let's compare them. Again, my feelings compared to the annual pass program that we used to have.
Yes, these are just our feelings.
Yes.
Caleb and I's.
For sure. First thing is every pass, like we mentioned before, has more blockout dates. This is, again, verified. This is the thing. They're just more restricted than they used to be, yes. And you pay more for them. Second thing, smaller percentage discount, like we mentioned before, on food. So it's about 5% difference there, but just less discounts on food, so not as great there. No park reservations were required back then.
Yes, and this is something that I really hope that they get rid of, especially with that specifically and the park hopping time.
Yes.
Where you have to wait. It's really a bummer when you're there and you're like, I want to go over there just really quick and you can't. So
yep.
It was nice having all of that.
Yeah, so the annual pass program, you didn't worry. Reservation didn't even like ring a bell to you. You just, dining reservations, that's all you cared about.
And that's hard now too.
Yes, everything's hard.
That's a different story. It's a different episode.
They had more events for annual pass holders. Do you remember the annual pass holder days? For
yes.
The parks? Yeah, they would like open up the latter half of the day to just annual pass holders, and they had exclusive merch you could get, and it was just big deal.
It was awesome.
So you were almost like, you felt a little more appreciated back then, mm-hmm. now, especially the unfavorable mix comment during the quarterly earnings report, and discounts or extra months for renewals. So they offered straight up discounts to renew.
I remember that, which happened to us. How much was the discount? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but I do remember the only one I remember the actual amount was it was renew now and get 13 months on your pass.
Yeah, it was a free month. It was awesome.
That was awesome.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Disney World still gets discounts, but we don't.
I know.
Crazy. Better name. This is just my opinion, but I think annual pass holder is a much better name than Magic Key.
I have to admit, I thought this for a very long time. The Magic Key name's growing on me.
Really?
I don't know why.
You did not like it.
I don't know. I think it's just because we've talked about it so often. It's just kind of being ingrained in my brain now, like Magic Key, Magic Key. Like I never slip and go, oh, AP.
Sure.
I do prefer the AP.
Come on, AP.
I do.
That was cool.
But I do have to say I am getting more used to Magic Key.
Okay.
Like, oh yeah, I'm a key holder.
I respect that.
But I miss little AP magnets. They're so cute.
Physical cards. So you actually had a physical annual pass card that you got to use at the entrance for your fast passes, for your discounts. It was much more convenient, my opinion, with the card versus the app.
I love the card.
I miss it.
Because the app's glitchy sometimes.
Yeah, or the splash screen. So when you try to open it in the launch screen and it's the stupid animation, it's beautiful, but I don't want to sit there for an extra 5 seconds. I want to get my
Well, it's so funny. It always cracks me up because when we go to the Starbucks or Market House on Main Street, we're always trying to order and Caleb's trying to scan his like key discount and it never loads for him ever when he takes it out.
Yeah. So
and the poor cast member is like,
Give me the ability.
He's like, I'm so sorry.
Give me the ability to add it to my iPhone wallet. Give me the ability to, I would pay.
See, this is why Apple.
All right. Charge me $15 and give me one of those plastic cards again.
I would love to have, because we kept all of our old ones.
Yeah.
Like we have them all.
They're in my little Disney backpack.
They're so fun.
Anyways, I'll stop complaining.
Memory lane, I love it.
Finally, I think what was preferred over at the annual pass program was the Max Pass add-on. Do you remember that? You could just pay an extra $150 or $100 for the year, and you got Max Pass.
I loved it. That was the best.
Max Pass was the best program. Bring it back.
Yep. Oh, no, no. No.
Mr. Chapek, why oughta? But Mr. Iger, if you're listening, I don't know why I keep calling him Misters. Bob Iger, please bring back that kind of program versus Genie Plus. It's terrible. But yeah, that's a little breakdown, I think, of what we think about the annual pass program, and we miss it. I do. I think at the end of the day, net, it was a better program than the Magic Key program.
Yeah.
Is the Magic Key program terrible? No. But I would prefer the annual pass program.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And again, it's good to go back and see where things were and how much they've grown price-wise and things that have been taken away versus things that have been added. So again, like we've mentioned in our episode about Bob Iger returning, I'm so curious to see what he's going to do with the program. Are there changes that are going to happen? Is he going to move forward with things that everyone's hoping he will? Is he going to take reservations away? Our price is going to go up again soon, and they're going to change the keys.
Yeah, will they sell them again to people? Like,
exactly.
I don't believe there was a cap back in the day. Like the annual pass program, anyone could buy them at any point.
Yeah, it never went out.
Yeah.
At least not to my knowledge of us going there. So again, who knows? I mean, everyone's hoping that they're going to reopen them soon, like at the first of the year. But again, no one knows. So we're really hoping for it.
Yes.
So.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this week. Hopefully you enjoyed our little discussion on the Magic Key program, annual pass program. Let us know if you're considering joining the program once they open up sales again. and let us know your thoughts. If you're an existing Magic Key holder, what your thoughts are on this. Very curious to see if it lines up with what we're saying or if you disagree.
Yeah, send us a DM. We love chatting back and forth with everybody.
So. For sure. You can find us on Instagram at Market House Podcast and Twitter at Market House Pod. Make sure to follow us over there for pictures from the park and exciting news announcements, things to buy, because Caitlin's talking about them over on our little segment there. Consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, a giant help to the show. And again, remember to use our Undercover Tourist link for your future trip bookings.
Yes, and Caleb will have all the Shop the Mouse links in the episode notes below. So.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Bye.